Welcome back, everybody. A little bit of Eddie Money for you, right in your faces, on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Luke. We got a bunch of things to get to this segment because we want to go and finish off with an awesome punk rock situation for you guys that is too awesome to not let you listen to. But first, I asked for callers, and we're going to get them. We got Mark from the SAC. How you doing, Mark? What's going on, buddy?
Oh, doing great. I mean, you're hearing Gableman's name mentioned again just kind of turns my stomach. Is that, you know, the question that keeps coming to mind is, how can this guy possibly can be considered impartial when he actually just came right out and said, you know, this election was stolen at some, or referenced it, you know, he didn't say that precisely probably, but he made reference to it when he was speaking, you know, the day after the election, you know, right in that time frame, they're complaining about it, and Voss, you know, meekly submits to Donald Trump and says, oh, I'll hire this guy and he'll do this, and you know, dumping how many...
Don't forget, that was after Trump and all of his friends said, get rid of Robin Voss. They actually, they also went into his office and tried to get rid of him or told him to leave.
Yeah, the chants of Toss Voss were echoing through the Wisconsin State Capitol that day. I'm still, there's a...
And like a strong, very strong-willed person, Boss Voss went in and told Donald Trump exactly where he can kneel down and wait for him to kiss Donald Trump's ring.
Yeah. My lingering question still is, who brought the McDonald's on that flight when they were on the private flight? Because in between them, they got the photo and they're smiling with the thumbs up, but there's a bag of good old Mickey D's in the middle.
Oh.
I'm sure. I don't know if it was a peace offering brought by Voss or somebody else brought it on because they knew.
Voss is smart enough to know that he's going to go and meet Donald Trump at some sort of airport. He's going to find the closest McDonald's, if not in the airport, and have it ready for him because nothing makes somebody happy like hot fries. What do you think, Mark?
Oh, good Lord. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember the last time I ate McDonald's fries.
They're crack, Mark. That's pretty much it. That's how it is. Thanks for the call, man. We got to move on. We got Jeannie from Eau Claire. How you doing, Jeannie? What's going on, babe?
Hi, guys. You know, to me, he's like a Benedict Arnold to the taxpayers and the voters of Wisconsin.
Like
a Benedict Arnold to the rule of law. That's just my input. You guys have a great day.
I like that. See, Crudy had one yesterday. He said Alex Jones. So maybe a Benedict Arnold Alex Jones hybrid is what we're going to have Michael Gableman become.
Yeah, that's a good combination. I see, and I've got I'm still trying to think of my submission for this. But
think about it. I have a deadly combination that I want to tell you guys about. This is the left turn I want to tell you about, and then I want to get to baseball.
Yes.
But I want to tell you about a killer. And I'm going to go back 1997. This is like over 20 years ago. Okay.
I was three.
This is and I can't believe that this nothing's been people talk about lead all the time.
Yes.
This is about an unrecognized killer. Dihydrogen monoxide.
Okay.
Do you know about dihydrogen monoxide?
It sounds familiar.
Let me tell you about it. Okay, the chemical compound. This is printed in the Washington Post. This is by James Glassman, October 21st, 1997. The chemical compound dihydrogen monoxide, or DHMO, has been implicated in the deaths of thousands and thousands of Americans each year, mainly through accidental ingestion. In gaseous form, it can cause severe burns. And according to a new report, the dangers of this chemical do not end there. That's a quote. The chemical is so caustic that it, quote, accelerates the corrosion and rusting of many metals, is a major component of acid rain, and has been found in the excised tumors of terminal cancer patients. Symptoms of ingestion include excessive sweating and urination, and for those who have developed a dependency on DHMO, complete withdrawal means certain death. Yet the presence of this chemical has been confirmed in every river, stream, and lake and reservoir in America. Judging from these facts, do you think dihydrogen monoxide should be banned?
Sounds pretty bad. I feel like banning it might be a smart thing to do. But
I think we should. Let's get some bills written.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like an open and shut case until you realize the chemical compound is plain old water. Two hydrogen molecules bonded to one oxygen molecule, which you can drown in.
I thought that's why.
It can scald you and can make you go to the bathroom. But
spring. I haven't taken a chemistry class in years, Brian.
But in spring.
Why are you making me do chemistry on the
radio? Because this is important. This is something to like think about as far as our process goes. And this was written in 97. Because that spring, Nathan Zoner, an enterprising 14-year-old student at Eagle Rock Junior High School in Idaho Falls, Idaho, conducted his science fair project just this theme. Nathan distributed a tongue-in-cheek report that had been kicking around the internet, dihydrogen monoxide, the unrecognized killer, to 50 of his classmates. These are smart kids who had studied chemistry, many of them, like Nathan, have parents who work in the nearby Idaho Nuclear Engineering and Environmental Laboratory. Nathan simply asked them to read the report, which is completely factual, and decide what, if anything, to do about the chemical. They could even ask the teacher which DHMO was, but none did. In the end, 43 students, or 86% of the sample, quote, voted to ban dihydrogen monoxide because it has caused too many deaths, wrote Nathan on the conclusion to his project, adding that he was appalled that my peers were so easily misled. I don't feel comfortable with the current level of understanding. Me neither, and it's not just kids I worry about, this article goes on. Nathan's project, which won the grand prize at the Greater Idaho Falls Science Fair, was titled, How Gullible Are We? But ninth graders aren't the only gullible parties. I'm sure that if Nathan tried the same experiment on adults, he'd find at least as many would want to ban DHMO. Says David Murray, research director of the Nonprofit Statistical Assessment Service in Washington, quote, the likelihood is high that I could replicate these results with a survey of members of Congress. Murray, whose organization looks for misleading science that's driving public policy over a cliff, ran across the Zoner story a few months ago on the internet, but writes, we thought it sounded like an urban myth, too pat, too neat, and it was true. I mean, and here's the thing. This was 1997. The state of Congress back then. That was before an active anti-science movement was happening.
And I would say it was the start of the anti-science.
Yeah, but that's the beginning. My point is that not enough to affect the kids that were there. Yes. Those kids were, you know, smart kids. You can think of Idaho, but those were right near the nuclear power plant kids. They're scientist kids. You yourself are a smart kid. You're a really smart kid.
No, I'm not.
But my point is that you've exhibited yourself to be a capable human being.
If I saw the 2 hydrogen, 1 oxygen, maybe on a sheet of paper, I think I might have caught it sooner, but I was listening.
Okay. I'm sure a lot of people that were listening caught this. But my point is, it's about
it's the way you frame something.
It's about messaging and the framing of things. You could get people to ban water, or you could use this to say, I don't know, get people to sign over control of water to you.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
All right, and now, then, speaking of things, you know, we want to. We took a left turn there. Now let's take a right turn here on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You can give us a call and share your call, text, tangent. All are welcome here. 844-967-2789. But another pretty wild out there story that we wanted to get to, and it's Friday, so we're saying WTF, what the Friday?
Yeah,
so
what
let's
the Friday?
Talk about it.
Yeah.
So let's dive in.
Yeah. So baseball is on a lockout, right?
Yes.
Just started.
There was earlier this, I believe it started yesterday morning at midnight officially. There was no contract extension for the Players Association and MLB owners. And so therefore the MLB owners said officially we are closing the doors and doing a lockout of the players because we do not have a collective bargaining agreement currently.
Just so we know, this is the owners locking the players out.
Correct.
And that's important, especially since I just talked about framing the situation.
Correct.
And I'm going to read an excerpt from the Craig Calcaterra Cup of Coffee podcast, which talks about baseball. He's a baseball writer. And he's one of the few writers that actually frames this from the player's perspective, because most of the things you're going to read and most of the things you're going to hear are going to be from the owner's perspective.
The 30 owners of the MLB baseball teams that are probably all billionaires.
Yes.
At least multi-billionaires.
And a lot of them will cry poor, but they are absolutely, they're talking biblical losses and things. They're talking about biblical losses compared to the profits they were expecting to have, not the biblical losses they actually have. They can pay the people. You want to complain about how much the players make? I guarantee you the owners are not losing a dime. So here's from Craig Calcaterra. The owners and players had until midnight to talk last night. That was a couple days ago. Realizing how far apart they were on everything, however, they broke off negotiations before 3 Eastern time and got in their hired Escalades, Tahoes, and Suburbans, made their way to the airport and home. At midnight, the owners imposed the lockout we knew was coming, and we're in the first lockout or strike baseball has seen in over a quarter of a century.
Right.
And to be clear, this one is a lockout, not a strike or a work stoppage, despite what most people reporting about this will imply in an effort to make players look like the bad guys. Here's some examples. Rob Manfred's full statement on this is so long that he might have been composing it while he was trying to negotiate. The whole thing can be read here. If you can stomach that much from the guy, there's a link there. Here's the relevant quote. Despite the league's best efforts to make a deal with the Players Association, we were unable to extend our 26-year-long history of labor peace and come to an agreement with the MLBPA before current CBA expired. Therefore, we have been forced to commence a lockout of Major League Baseball players. To be clear again, the owners were not forced here. This was a choice, their choice to do this.
Right. This is the podcaster, now not the owner's statement.
Yes,
right?
Which is exactly what the statements from the MLBPA and Executive Director Tony Clark noted. And it goes back and forth.
Yeah.
But the point is, you're going to hear a lot of things about what the owners say, and you're not going to hear as much about what the players say, because a lot of times they're kind of told not to talk about things, or if they do, they're the bad guys for saying things out loud.
Right. I would say that of all the major league sports that have kind of all of a sudden embraced having a platform and talking about issues that they care about, and that could range from Colin Kaepernick taking a knee to Kyrie Irving sitting out the season because he does not want to get vaccinated, and it ranges in between those. But a lot of players have a platform, and their leagues almost encourage them to use it. The MLB is not that league. The MLB is more a hush-hush in regards to being a platform for social issues.
They're getting better.
They are getting better, but I would say on a scale of all the major league sports, MLB is
the most. They also look at their demographics.
Yes.
But if you want to know why the players, perhaps, are a little bit reticent to maybe move or even trust anything that MLB has to say, did you know that they used two different balls last season?
I didn't until you told me.
Randomly. They used two different balls last season. Now, they had a different ball in 2019. They had a different ball in 2020. And over the summer, Pete Alonso had a crazy statement saying that Major League Baseball was trying to doctor the results so that they can, because the major free agents that the first year were pitchers. So they had a ball that had more pop in it. I don't know if you remember the more home runs in 2019, I believe.
Yeah.
But then last year they had two different balls that they used randomly. Two different. So imagine you're a player, you get the ball you're ready to hit and you hit it normally and it doesn't go. But then you're a pitcher and you give it's insane. So here's a little bit of a blurb here. This is from NPR, but it kind of summarizes it. I know we only have a couple of seconds here, a wrench has been thrown into the conversation. A new report by Business Insider accuses the league of using two different baseballs throughout the 2021 season without knowledge of players or teams. The report draws on research by Meredith Wills. Look up Meredith Wills, an astrophysicist and data scientist who in recent years has conducted her own independent studies of baseballs used in major league games. If you have a foul ball that you don't know what to do with, send it to her. She'll take it apart and decide what kind of baseball it is. She tracked lot numbers. She found out, by the way, did you know that Major League Baseball creates their own baseballs? They can doctor and use their own baseballs. It is insane how much they have just altered it. But the thing is, last year, if you remember, they cracked down on
pitchers
yeah. for using sticky substances. The reason they use a sticky substance is because they changed the ball. So Major League Baseball is coming down and fining players and suspending them.
Making them show hat. I forget which pitcher it was, but was it Scherzer?
Take your pants off.
He literally, dropped. He was ready to drop his.
And they make that happen because they changed their own baseball and their own pitchers reacted to it, and then Major League Baseball cracked down on them for it. It really sounds like Republicans. They caused their own problem. And then when people try and go around it to fix it, the problem, they go and get cracked down on those people for fixing the problem that they started in the first place.
Yeah. Where else are you going to find great stories colliding like this, except Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian? Talking about dihydroxygen mono... What was it?
Dihydrogen monoxide.
Yeah.
And, the silent
and
killer.
MLB right here on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Did you know that death continues to be our nation's number one killer?
That's wild. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. One more segment left of this week.